There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Welcome to Good Calls with Dean Blandino, a production of iHeartRadio.
What's up? Dean Blandino, another episode of Good Calls. As always, I'm joined by the man, the myth, the legend, the Caucasian rattlesnake himself, giving throwing up symbols. I don't know what those hand gestures are.
It's 33. It's week 33 already.
Oh, nice.
Of the show.
Week 33 of the show. Travis Hansen.
The show's brought to you by Larry Bird.
Oh, nice. Famous 33s. We can do that.
The problem is, I think this is 34, actually. So
who's 34?
I think this is episode 34, which throws your whole intro off.
It's Shaq. It's not Larry Bird.
It is definitely Shaq.
Ooh, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's label each episode by a famous athlete with that number.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Obviously, once we get to 99, we're not going to be able to do it, but we can at least get to 99.
I know who's 99.
Obviously, we can get to Wayne Gretzky.
All right. Let's make it to Wayne.
The goal is to get to Wayne Gretzky. All right. So this is episode
34. That's like almost 2 years of shows.
Who's your most famous 34? I'm looking it up. Shaq is 34, right?
Your show notes have 33, right?
Yeah, but I think we might have skipped one. Joe might be right. He's not just the audio guy. He can count, too.
I'm so good at counting.
I love the optimistic message behind you, Joe. Better days are coming. Speaking of better days are coming, let's talk about the current situation, the current environment. Travis, updates, cancellations, hopefully pretty soon we'll be talking about, and I know we got a couple of updates, we'll be talking about when things are going to start up again. That's the goal, right? What's happening around the world of sports right now?
Yeah, feel free to jump in here at any time. The first one we talked about a few weeks ago, the Spelling Bee's canceled, first time since 1945. It's a sporting event, and it's something that a lot of people watch, and disappointing. One that was here in LA.
It feels very draconian. It's my spelling word.
Nice word.
Don't ask Joe or I to spell anything, that's for sure.
Obviously. So the Spelling Bee kaput.
The Spelling Bee is kaput. World Series of Poker is postponed from May 26th to July 15th. I know Joe's a big online poker player, right, Joe? You play a little online?
I guess they couldn't figure out a way to do that online. Obviously, people play online poker all the time, but I guess that's not something that they could, reasonably, do. It wasn't feasible, I guess.
Another story that caught my eye was Taylor Swift concert at SoFi, which is supposed to be the kickoff event, has been canceled. That was set for July 25th. So it's getting closer to that NFL season that we'll talk about later. A Japanese disease expert was talking about the Olympics next summer, saying they're very pessimistic that he thinks it would happen. And then I saw another story that people are having a conflict. The IOC and Japan are having a little dispute over who's going to pay for all the postponement. They say going to be like $2 to $6 billion to postpone it for a year.
Wow, that's crazy.
So yeah, pretty wild stuff going on there. Sad one. The baseball bat company, Louisville Sluggers, closing down the factory, furloughing employees because no baseball. What there could be baseball coming up. We're going to talk about that later. Maybe a possible three cities going to be hosting baseball games. We hope that'll happen. And, interesting one here with the draft coming up here this week. The WNBA was the most watched draft in 16 years and the second most watched ever on ESPN. So.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, people are home. They're starved for sports. Obviously, the WNBA draft, I would imagine that is not a ratings bonanza. Nothing against the WNBA. It's just not something that people are going to watch. you know, in large numbers. And that obviously makes sense. And I was excited by New York Liberty getting the first pick and getting, what's her name? Carrusco or, and she was the first pick. She played at Oregon. She's this absolute stud. And, I feel like the Liberty are going to, you know, at least one New York basketball team is going to be successful in the near future.
That's speaking of the New York basketball team, I feel like you didn't want to watch the Last Dance that was the most viewed doc on ESPN in the history there. Like, I want to talk about that a little bit, Dean. I want to hear why you don't want to watch it.
So, okay. Obviously, the Last Dance, this has been hyped even before coronavirus. This was hyped. This was going to be, you know, one of ESPN's bigger productions and unbelievable. And I'm sure it was one of the highest ratings. Like you said, it was the highest rated doc on ESPN. All about, right, a 10-part series about Michael Jordan and the Bulls during that run of championships. So here's the thing. I have made peace with Michael Jordan recently. And then we're not talking about years. We're talking about months. Okay? I hated Michael Jordan. There was a time when I hated Michael Jordan more than anyone on the planet or in the history of the earth. Hated him with a passion. This was obviously, I was younger. I'm a Knicks fan. The Knicks during that time, you know, late 80s, early 90s, they were an up and coming team. They put together a good core, obviously with Patrick Ewing, draft lottery, winning that lottery and getting Ewing. That was kind of the kickstart. And they put together a really good team that it felt like every year the Bulls were the ones that were beating them and knocking them out of the playoffs. And I had such a hatred for Michael Jordan. Now, let me preface that by saying he's the greatest basketball player of all time. I don't care who, you know, Mr. Lakers guy over there, and we'll talk about the game that was on the other day, but Kobe, no. LeBron, no. Wilt, Kareem, Magic, Larry Bird, they're all up there, but Michael Jordan is at the top. He's the greatest player to ever play. So I'll give him that. But I hated him with such a passion. I thought he was a despicable human being. Maybe that was all in my head. I created that because of what he did to the Knicks. And I've recently come to peace with Michael Jordan. And I even got my first pair of Jordans. Joe helped me purchase those. That was what, Joe, a couple months ago?
Yeah,
that's your first pair?
I've refused to give anything to that whole industry. I hate with a passion. So I'm a much better, kinder, gentler right now, and I'm in a better place, you know, through therapy and everything else. I'm in a much better place.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how much have you spent in therapy getting about Michael Jordan? Like, can you send him a bill?
self-evaluation, self-therapy, and just going through it. And I think it may have helped just having a child, a son that is interested and plays basketball and wanted to learn about Michael Jordan and the history. Look, that was my time, you know, growing up watching the NBA during the 80s and the 90s. And that was when I fell in love with the NBA, was during that time. And he was obviously the greatest player, like I said, but I hated him. And I don't want to go back to a place of hate. I'm all about love and peace and harmony. And if I watch that documentary, I'm going to become a bitter, bitter person. I don't want to do it. So that's why I'm not watching.
Hey, that's fair enough. I watched the first two episodes and I thought they were great. I was a huge Michael Jordan fan as a kid. I think he saved the NBA. Like, for me, I stopped watching the NBA after that 98 season. When Jordan left, I left the NBA too. And to me, he's definitely the greatest player, and there's no question about it. He changed the game. He made it what the game is today. He made it so these guys are making these huge guaranteed salaries.
All right,
now.
Travis, let's not get crazy. Let's not get crazy that Michael Jordan made the game what it is today, because there was a bunch of guys before Jordan came into the league, and many people will say that it was Magic and Larry. That made the NBA, the modern NBA, what it is, and those Celtics teams and those Lakers teams – while Jordan was still, you know, getting cut from his... See, you're bringing out the hate. You're bringing out the hate.
We don't need to have a debate show. I don't want to have a debate show here.
You said you liked it, and then you started blowing smoke up his ass, and now I'm starting to hate again, and this is why I won't watch it. Now I'm fired up. And I don't want to do that.
I like it. I haven't seen this side of Dean in a while. This is good.
So, but the thing about it, though, which I think is good for everyone, is it felt like The Last Dance. It was like a big sporting event that everybody could watch, because now people are watching and everybody's on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, and they're not watching at the same time.
Yeah.
And just being on social media, it felt like everybody was watching it.
There's like something like 16 million people watching.
Yeah. And it was like this, you know, it's that common, you know, everybody watches a big playoff game, you know, everybody watches Thursday Night Football, or everybody watches a bowl game, and everybody can comment and exchange on social media. So from that aspect, I thought it was really cool. But again, I don't need to go back to a dark place. It's like if you got me, you know, gave me a wife beater and a gold chain and played some freestyle music, that would take me back to a dark place of my past and my, you know, the Guido.
Should we talk about that more? What happened there?
And if you did that to me, I would absolutely fall back into an abyss. And I don't mean an abyss as like a chasm of despair. It's actually a club in Jersey. It's a Guido club called The Abyss, and they play amazing music. And that's where I would go back to. So I don't want to do that. So Guido, Michael Jordan, that's the 90s for me. And I don't want to go back.
Can I get on record that we are taking a trip to the Jersey Shore when all this is done? Like, I just want to experience it one time with you.
You know what?
We're going to the chasm.
I did agree to that, and I will follow through on that. So when this is all over, hopefully we have one weekend in the summer, because the Jersey Shore is a summer thing. And I will take you to Belmar, New Jersey. Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Those were our hangouts, and we got houses every summer, and we'll hit DJs, and we'll go to Jenkinson's on the boardwalk, and there's a whole bunch of places. It is amazing.
I cannot wait.
I want to go.
You will, Travis. I would pay $1 million to watch you in one of these clubs. It is amazing, and we're gonna have an amazing time.
I cannot wait.
Single Trav probably would have been better than Married with Children Dad.
It's, yeah, but still, it's a good time.
Caucasian Rattlesnake will come out.
It is good. Like, yeah, I don't know if you drop kicking dudes on the boardwalk and flip flops is the way to go, but you know,
I probably can't get into that club with flip flops on.
I'm just so excited that we have this on record. Like, I'm thrilled.
I'm excited.
I'm going to keep a clip of it on my phone.
Let's go back to, so the news broke this week, and the whole thing, honestly, it just sucks. The XFL stuff sucks. It was
totally.
It was so much fun to be a part of, and it was really doing well, and it was refreshing, and it showed that spring football could work, and obviously everything with Corona, and it just Vince McMahon, and I get it, it's a business decision. But then the news dropped that Oliver Luck, who was the commissioner of the XFL, is suing Vince McMahon. And, you know, just to see how this is going to play out. And I didn't realize Oliver had a contract guaranteed for $20 million.
I saw that.
Ooh.
And that's a big, big number. And, you know,
that's a huge number.
Huge. And the way, you know, I don't know. Look, I don't know all the details. I don't know what happened, but it sounds like, you know, the XFL, they let Oliver go the day before. They informed Oliver on a Thursday. And then that Friday morning, they had a conference call with the entire staff and they let them know. So Oliver, they actually let go before that. And so I don't know if they were setting that up to, you know, for some kind of breach of contract, so they wouldn't have to pay it out if he had guaranteed money and there were some clauses in there. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But again, it's just so sad. It's so sad that it came to that. Whereas a little more than a month ago, you know, we were, you know, wrapping up the first half of the season and thinking about the second half and thinking about the postseason and the championship game, and everything was great. And in such a short time, it all went down the drain, and it just kind of sucks.
Totally, totally disappointing.
Major League Baseball, you mentioned, Travis, you know, I was reading, and this is an interesting concept. I think baseball is really, I'm a big fan. I've never met him, but just from watching him publicly and some of the things he said, I like Rob Manfred. He seems like just like kind of like a down to earth regular guy. And he seems to be pretty transparent and open. And at this point he said, look, right now we have ideas. We don't necessarily have concrete plans. And I think that's real. That's, you know, because who knows when it's going to be safe and these restrictions are going to be lifted. But one of the plans or ideas that has now been floated is a three-state setup where you divide the league into these three states, the three states being Arizona, Florida, and Texas. And you play in the stadiums in those states. All of those states have retractable roof stadiums, so you can play, you know, weather is not an issue. And you keep the teams, you know, in those areas, and then you play the games, you know, a shortened season at this point. And, you know, so that's been floated. And then obviously I've heard, you know, players like Mike Trout, Clayton Kershaw, other guys have said, you know, they're not necessarily looking forward to being, in essence, quarantined away from their families and sequestered, you know, in some state, in some location, away from their, you know, their spouses and their children and their loved ones. And I can understand that. But you know, the economics reality is that these leagues, baseball, they got to start playing because it is going to be a real hardship on a lot of people if they're not playing games. And that goes for the other sports too. And again, this is unlike anything we've ever experienced in our lifetime. And it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Hopefully, you know, you just hope for the best. And like Joe says, better days are coming. Speaking of baseball, though, I'd like to introduce a new segment. I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, it was This Week in Baseball. Do you remember This Week in Baseball?
Of course, yeah.
The show on Saturdays.
Wasn't Bob Uecker the voice?
Bob Uecker, yeah. There was Joe Garagiola. There was others, but it used to be This Week in Baseball, and they would do like around the league. And I used to live for that, you know, as a little kid. And so what I want to do is, since they're playing and we talked about them last week and there's something newsworthy this week, it's This Week in Taiwanese Baseball. So that's going to be the new segment. So last week we talked about they were going to play with cardboard cutouts. This week they had a bench clearing brawl. And did you watch the video of the brawl?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. We could spend a whole episode talking about that 10 minutes or whatever it was.
Yes. It was, as far as baseball brawls go, it was bad. It was not a good brawl. But we are so starved. We are so starved for something. It was the most exciting thing I've ever seen. And even the announcers were like, this is exciting. They were saying, and what was fascinating is that, so it revolved around, they had a protest about a bat. The one team protested, the other team was using an illegal bat. I don't know what the rule is, but obviously it probably has to do with, you remember the famous George Brett pine tar?
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
So the bat didn't have pine tar on it. So I would imagine it's something to do with the diameter or the type of wood. I don't know. But they protested this bat. The umpires looked at it. They were communicating with someone outside of the umpiring group, and they determined that the bat was legal. So I guess the guy that was protesting the bat, the next time he gets up, the pitcher just threw four straight balls, and like each one got increasingly closer to him.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, this one's inside. This one's more inside. This one's more inside. And then the catcher and the bench, the dugout, and the batter started getting into it. And then the last one, he just hit him perfectly right in the pocket, like right in the pocket. And then it wasn't.
Well, you should hit a guy if you're going to intentionally hit him.
100%. If you're going to hit a guy, it's you hit him. You hit him below the neck. You don't go anywhere near the head, and you aim for the middle of the body, you know, and that's what you do. Even it's tough. You don't want to hit somebody in the ribs. You could break a rib, knock somebody out. But if you're going to hit somebody, the good meaty part of the thigh or the butt, that's going to be the best way to do it. So it was a perfect bean ball. And then it kind of, it wasn't
like throw your helmet, charge them.
Yeah, there was no charge. And they just kind of got together. But it was very sophisticated and civilized. And there was one push, the pitcher pushed the one guy, but that was it. And what was fascinating is the announcers were like, this doesn't happen in Taiwanese baseball. He said they don't argue with the umpires. He said they don't have bench clearing stuff. And what was so funny is that that's happening. And then you're watching the cardboard cutouts in the stands and you're just seeing the people. And they didn't even put, like, there was literally, from what I saw, like maybe 8 cardboard cutouts in the entire stadium.
Right. They show the whole wide shot and the stadium's empty. So it just looks crazy and weird.
And they put like 3 behind the backstop. And there's just these 3 random people, cardboard cutouts. So that's what's happening this week in Taiwanese baseball. We'll be back next week, Travis. And we are going to go through the teams. We're going to do a whole 101.
The teams were one of the teams was the Monkeys, right?
One of the teams was the Monkeys. I don't know what the other team was, but we're going to do the mascots. We're doing it. They had a guy like zip lining. So next week we're going to do a full rundown. And for all the listeners, you're going to get into Taiwanese baseball. And then lastly, positive. The PGA Tour is going to start in June. And so, I looked at the schedule and it's going to be obviously a condensed schedule. I don't think the majors, it looks like the PGA Championship is the only major on the schedule. And I don't know if they're using other tournaments for majors, but look, it makes sense. I know, I was talking to Mike Pereira the other day, and the golf course, Mike is a big golfer, and the golf course at the club that he goes to in Sacramento, it's open. And he says, the club isn't open. The shop isn't open. You have to be 6 feet away from the nearest person, but you can go out and play. And it makes sense. Look, golf is, you're not in large groups. There's obviously going to be no spectators. And I really, I've never been to a professional golf outing. I know, Joe, you went to Waste Management in January.
Yes.
I always felt like golf was more of a TV sport anyway. But you guys might disagree. But I think it'll be good to have something back.
Joe, you raved about Waste Management. You said it's a lot of fun. I've never gone to Golf Live. I barely golfed.
Yeah, it wasn't really the actual golf tournament. It was just
Waste Management, that's the one in Phoenix. It's Super Bowl weekend. It's not about the golf necessarily. Like, people get dressed up. There's, what is it, the 16th, the green or whatever it is. Like, everybody, there's a grandstand. It's a big party. And I've never been to that event, but I've been to the Super Bowl in Phoenix. And so I've been to after parties where people from the golf tournament were there, and obviously people for the Super Bowl were there, and you see these people in these colorful outfits. And I know that, Joe was raving. The sights are very, there's quite a lot of good sights, if you know what I mean, at the tournament.
There's a lot of stuff to look at. Yes.
There's a lot of attractive people at the golf course.
Which is why they asked me to come.
What else we got? We're going to take a break. What do you guys...
Yeah, let's take a break.
Well, I just wanted to talk more about Jordan, how he's going to donate all the proceeds that he makes from the dock.
Oh, geez.
What's interesting about Michael Jordan?
$3 to $4 million.
You know what's interesting about Michael Jordan during his playing career? He didn't give a shit about charity. He didn't give a shit about anybody else but winning. Okay?
All right.
Michael Jordan ever stand up like LeBron or Muhammad Ali for social injustice? Did he ever? No,
probably not.
Thanks for bringing back the heat, Travis. Now I'm watching.
Let's go to break.
I'll handle this one. Coming up after break, we'll be talking about Joe's social distancing tips and Travis's next audition. Next on Good Calls.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, we're back on Good Calls with Dean Blandino. And Joe, because I was on a rant, Joe took us to break. And I got to say, that is the first and last time he will ever take us to break. Because it was awful. You didn't even plug the right segment. So, you know, you said actually segment three is what you said was coming up, and that's obviously not the case.
Well, the good thing about being the audio guy is I could switch those around, so it's fine. But no, now that you're ruining it for me. So
you got to live with it.
Listen, I'm trying to save my friend. I don't want Michael Jordan hearing this and coming, you know, getting upset with you.
Yes, because I'm sure Michael Jordan cares what I think about him.
I'm sure he's a listener.
I'm sure that's an issue. So let's go NFL draft. Obviously, the draft is this week. And this is a big deal. The draft is always it's the biggest event in the NFL offseason. It's, I would imagine, you know, I haven't checked the ratings, but the NFL draft, at least the first round, usually outrates other live sports and, you know, other than maybe NBA finals and things like that. But it's definitely one of the higher watch. So I would imagine this draft is going to be, it's probably going to break records because of everything that we've been dealing with and no live sports and things like that. So that being said, you know, how is it going to work? And what's interesting is they had a mock draft, and it was reported that there were, you know, several GMs complained and there were glitches. And look, it wasn't perfect, but for what they're trying to do, the people that I talked to said it worked pretty well. And there were some issues to work through. And what they did is they had a mock draft and they tried to test, you know, trades and things like that. And the one thing that came out was that there was an issue with a trade. Dallas was, and they scripted it. So Dallas was supposed to trade with Cincinnati. And there was some mix up with the trade and that didn't go through. So that created some issues. But here's the deal. Here's how it's going to work. So there's going to be a WebEx that is going to be set up, and all 32 teams are going to log into that WebEx. And they'll have three representatives from each team on that WebEx. And that will stay open throughout the entire draft. And that is for the league to communicate with all 32 clubs. And that will be information like, okay, with the second pick in the 2020 NFL draft, the Washington Redskins take Chase Young, defensive end, Ohio State. Detroit is now on the clock. So that anytime the league wants to communicate things to the entire 32, they'll do it via that WebEx. Okay. So one of the issues with the mock draft, if you've ever experienced a conference call or a Zoom meeting like we've been doing the last couple of weeks, is people couldn't figure out how to mute their microphones. So they were picking up background noise. So that was the first issue. The second issue was they were doing kind of a roll call and they were having a hard time communicating who was on the call because people either weren't listening, they couldn't access their mic, those types of things. So there was just some growing pains there. And believe me, I deal with this. I have conference calls with replay officials during the season. I'm doing Zoom meetings and I have to remind them every time to mute their microphones because the amount of times I've heard somebody's wife talking about things I don't want to hear about, or the guy's on the golf course and he's not supposed to be, or whatever it is, and they're not muting their microphone. So that's the first part. So you have that part. And then there's Microsoft Teams, which is a service that Microsoft provides where you can, kind of like Zoom, where you can communicate. So Microsoft Teams, there will be a secure login for each team. So you log in to Microsoft Teams and you get a code. You have to enter in that code when you're going to make your pick. So you enter, you log in, you enter, then you get a code. You enter the code and then you make your pick. Okay. Every time your pick is up, your next pick, you get a new code. So you don't have to log in again, but you get a code every time. So it's secure. You can't just, if somebody logs in and somebody hacks into that system, they would have to get that code to actually send in a pick. So that's the pick line. Okay, then there's a trade line. So there's a dedicated line where the two teams can communicate however they communicate. They can communicate like normal. They can communicate via text, phone call, email, however they communicate. So if the Lions and the Packers, not the Lions and Packers probably wouldn't make a trade. They're in the same division. But let's say the Lions and the Chiefs want to make a trade. They communicate the trade. They agree upon it with each other. Then they go to this secure line and they talk to the league together to communicate the details of the trade. And then the league will look at it, make sure it makes sense. It complies to all the rules. And then the league then can make the announcement to all 32 via that WebEx and say, you know, with the 18th pick, the Chiefs has traded with the Detroit Lions for whatever. So that's how it's all going to work. And there is a very last backup is cell phone and landlines to the league office. So there's designated people at the league office that if for whatever reason your connection, you know, falters, whatever it may be, there's a landline and cell phones that you can communicate directly to the league office. So that's how it's all going to work. This is a big undertaking. And the IT guys, the IT people at the NFL have been working on this for a long time. And it's a lot of work, and it's going to be, hopefully everything goes well and there's no glitches. But you know, we saw some stories. I sent you guys a story. Teams are not going to take any chances. The Lions are going to have their IT guy in a Winnebago outside GM Bob Quinn's house. So that, imagine that guy, he's like on a stakeout and he's just waiting for Bob to like notify him that, you know, the router needs to be
smart unplugged. Though. Like this, I saw that and I was like, this is really smart. All the teams need to do this.
No, well, no question. I would think that the IT support, I mean, you probably have, I mean, they rely on their IT people and their video people to begin with, but this is taking it to the next level. And I think, again, a lot of moving parts. This is unprecedented. But remember, you know, the draft years and years ago, it was a phone call. It wasn't all of the bells and whistles that we see today.
You know, if I'm like Anonymous or, you know, Kevin Mitnick, one of these famous hackers, like this is just a fastball down the middle. Like I'm all over this thing.
People, look, I remember, okay. So I remember being on a competition committee call. This is probably 2015. So we'd have our competition committee meetings at, before the league meeting, and we'd meet for a couple of days and we'd go through everything. And then Rich McKay, who's the chairman of the competition committee, myself, we would call the commissioner and go through the rules changes with him. So we would do that. And then we would have a conference call with the media where they could ask questions. And it was kind of like a group conference call and media. You would call into a number and then you could ask a question. You could press a button that you want to ask a question. So we're doing this and we're getting questions from, you know, Kevin Seifert at ESPN about a particular rule change, or, you know, this reporter, you know, Mike Florio, whoever it may be. And all of a sudden, this person gets on the line and they start asking a serious question. They don't identify themselves, but they start asking a serious question about the extra point. And whatever year it was, we were moving the extra point to the 15. And he said, well, have you ever thought of a better alternative for the extra point where a half naked, greased up Andy Reid slides down the goalpost, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm going, who the heck is this? And it ended up being somebody from Barstool that hacked into the line, that got on the line, got the number, and asked this ridiculous question. And so the Mike Signoro, who's in the PR department at the NFL, is one of the best people in the world. He's running the call, and Mike is like frantic, and he's like trying to like get that line disconnected. And he's like, "Oh, okay, well, we got." So I was this close. I didn't do it, but I was this close to when the next question was asked. I was like, I want to go back to that previous question because I have some questions of my own. So that's that. I agree. There are going to be people out there that are going to try to that are going to try to get into this. And, but it is, from what I've been told and the people I know that have worked on it, it's very secure. It's not as simple as just, breaking into a chat room or an online video conference. And there are layers and there is security. But again, it's not the first time somebody's, broken in
Give me a conference call number. I won't tell anybody.
You want the conference call number? Yeah. I don't have the conference call number, so I'm obviously not drafting. But other NFL news breaking. And let me say this. I want to take an opportunity to say this. That our colleague and one of my good friends, Jay Glazer, last week took a lot of shit because I don't know if you were following it, but Jay was, made a comment that he was going to break some news and it kind of blew up. It wasn't, and the way Jay communicated it was different than how it was presented. And it was presented as Jay Glazer has this national breaking scoop and he's going to break it on Fox is doing Fox Football Now and they're doing, they're doing online stuff. And it was going to break during Jay's segment. And everybody was up in arms because Jay's track record is usually when Jay says he has a big scoop, it's big. And it ended up being that the, and his name escapes me, but Brian, he's the center for the Rams, tested positive for coronavirus. And that was Brian Anderson, I think his name is. So that was the news. And people were obviously like let down that this was your national breaking news. And this is what we get. And he got a lot of like nasty messages, Twitter, you know how Twitter can be, and just a lot of hate for really not a good reason. So what happens this week is there is a pretty big, not that the coronavirus and someone testing positive for it in the NFL isn't big news, but I think what people were expecting was something transactional, right? Something related to the draft. So what drops this week and who drops it? Our friend Jay Glazer, Gronk is going to play and he's getting traded from the Pats to the Bucks, and he's going to rejoin with Tom and he's going to play for BA and Tampa's going to the Super Bowl.
You know what this says to me? Tom Brady doesn't think he can do it on his own.
Hot take. Well, Tom, he's got better weapons in Tampa than he had in New England. And it's interesting. They've given up OJ Howard. I know he hasn't really put up the numbers that they expected, but he's still what? He just finished his second year. And he was a first round pick out of Alabama and they've kind of given up on him and, taking a chance. Look, Gronk is one of the greatest tight ends to ever play, but
he's old though.
Hasn't played in what? 2 years. He was banged up. He's had a history of injury. This is not a gimme by any stretch of the imagination. It's fun. It's exciting to think of Brady and Gronk back together in Tampa. And, it'll be fun. And I think Gronk saw an opportunity to, maybe get out of under the shadow of Bill Belichick and both great coaches, but very different approaches. And Gronk is going to have, I think he's going to have more fun with Bruce Arians than he did with Bill Belichick. But a ton of respect for Bill Belichick because Gronk, Gronk really could have unretired and been hit the Patriots cap and forced them to cut him. And instead he, communicated, said he was thinking about coming back, wanted to go to Tampa, and they were able to work out a deal. So he passed the physical. I think that, I don't know if it's finalized yet as we're recording, but it's definitely close. And I know he passed the physical and I think it's a Gronk and a seventh round pick for a fourth rounder from Tampa.
So, I love Gronk. I'm so excited for this.
Well, Joe and Gronk party, Joe parties with Gronk after Super Bowl victories. He does shots with him. He dances. He does all that stuff.
Gronk came into the newsroom once when I was booking guests with NFL Network, and he was playing catch with us in the newsroom. And I said, "Hey, watch out. You don't want to hit that sprinkler in the ceiling." And he just looked dumbfounded, looked up at the ceiling. He's like, there's sprinklers in the ceiling. And he was just like, just so confused by it. It was amazing.
He's, you know, he's pretty much, he, what you see is what you get. Like, he's
totally
down to earth, good guy, loves football, loves to have fun.
Biggest hands I've ever seen on that guy, man.
Big dude. Yeah. Like, when he was on the set and you'd see him standing next to, and they're big guys like Strahan, Howie, even Bradshaw, you know, is a big guy. Tony Gonzalez, Gronk dwarf them. You know, Gronk's a big
I remember
big
you saying that day in studio.
Yeah. And just a good dude. You know, all my interactions with him have been positive. I haven't partied with him like Joe, but, you know, mine have been more professional settings. And talking about rules, and he was always, you know, offensive pass interference. Nice to talk to him. The tight ends coach at the time when I was at the league office, and how he could avoid offensive pass interference calls and things like that. So good for Gronk. I'm excited to see what that's going to look like.
I have to think Glazer probably had that last week, but it just wasn't quite ready. So he just had to go with something else. And the Brian Allen's his name was the story.
Brian Allen,
like, I'll just go with this story. Because only has the biggest stories.
He only has the biggest stories. He's not, and that's where I think the way it was presented was that Jay Glazer is gonna break this big story, and everybody expects big stories. And like I said, obviously coronavirus is a big story, and Brian Allen having it is a big story, but people aren't thinking like that. They're thinking some scoop about the draft or some scoop about free agency.
It's draft. So you're thinking transactions for sure.
And then lastly, in terms of just switching gears to college football, the playing rule oversight panel met yesterday, and that's the last stage of their rules change process. And they approved all of the rules change proposals. So we've been through them. So no surprises there. So going into the 2020 season, you know, the big ones were a player that gets called for targeting doesn't have to leave the field. They can stay in the bench area. And, you know, some other things, officials jurisdiction starts 90 minutes prior. Instant replay, 2 minute time limit, not a hard time limit, but the recommendation is 2 minutes. And so we're working with, I've been having weekly Zoom calls every week. I'm doing, I think 11 Division One conferences. There is an FCS group that has replay. So we're doing hour-long calls with each group. And we're talking about these rules changes and process and what's reviewable. And I think I'm going to invite you guys. I want you guys to be on these calls too so you can learn and study up. Because I see two future replay officials in my midst right now.
Oh, yeah.
Pick a conference.
Amen.
Where do you want to work, Travis? Big Sky? What's
I want to stay right here. I want to stay. I know they're Mountain West, but I want to stay. Yeah, I want to stay in California.
Pac-12.
Yeah, Pac-12.
I'll take the Wyoming. I'll take the Wyoming mission.
Mountain West.
You know how good looking I'll be out there.
Oh wow!
Not that good looking.
So Joe's saying that people in Wyoming are not that good looking.
He's seen me. Maybe that's all he's basing
it on. That's kind of a diss. I want to go. Like I said, Travis, when this all is all over, we're going two very different places. We're going Jersey Shore, and then we're going to Jackson Hole.
Dude, I'll take my bow. I'll do some hunting. I'm game. Officiate a game on Saturday. I'm down.
I'm in for that.
I'd rather just do some fishing, get on a boat, get some beers or some Trulies like Joe likes, and we can all just go out fishing.
I'm in for that. Let's do it. All right, we got a couple of trips planned. With that note, let's go to break. Travis, you take us to break. Let's see how you do.
All right, let's go to break now. Coming up after the break, we're going to hear about Joe's social distancing tips. We're going to hear the brain of Blandino. And I'm going to audition yet again for another role. I don't know how I keep getting these things, but I got a great agent. Next on Good Call.
That's how you go to break.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, we're back on Good Calls, and I can honestly say that Travis crushed going to break. He had a new voice. It was amazing. He got all the information in, whereas Joe bumbled and stumbled. Joe actually sounded like Travis during his auditions, and Travis sounded amazing. So I don't know what it is with your auditions. But speaking of auditions, you mentioned that going to break. We're not going to do an audition this week, but I came up with a new thing. So, Travis, what we're going to do, and we'll start next week, since we have video capability, I'm going to pick a famous moment in sports history, and you're going to do the play-by-play. So you're going to have the call.
So should I let the fans in on my radio voice on this too?
Yeah, let's hear it. Go ahead.
All right, coming up next on Good Calls, it's Dean Blandino and Joe talking about social distancing.
Wait, did you?
Who's gonna see?
Are you?
Wait, you're a DJ at a strip club?
Are you the MC, the DJ at a strip club, or is that radio?
Coming up next on the main stage, Cinnamon and Veronica is gonna be on the side.
Exactly.
Don't forget to tip your waitresses.
Exactly.
Wow. It gets better. He just gets better and better, man.
Let's get back. He does. And we're bringing him out of his shell. Let's get back to this is a podcast about rules, and I've got some rules discussions for us. First rule proposal. I'm disappointed in you guys that we have a group text. We have a couple of group texts, but the main one is the three of us and our friend Scott. And I feel like I want to propose a new rule in the group text that when someone sends something, we have to acknowledge it and respond to it before we can send something else. Okay. Because I've been sending too many funny things and you guys are just sending stuff right over the top and not responding to my thing. And Scott does it. Joe does it. So Joe, you're actually the best at responding, but you're still not 100%. So the new rule proposal is anytime somebody sends something, whatever it is, a tweet, a video, that at least one of us has to acknowledge it and respond before you can just send something else.
Does a ha-ha count? Just one of the little, like, you know, you just click ha-ha.
Yes.
The ha-ha.
Yes. Thing. Acknowledge what I am saying. Okay. A ha-ha is fine. A reaction is fine. But you can't just, if I send a funny video, you can't just send another one unless, and here's an exception, the rule book has exceptions, unless your text is related to mine somehow.
Okay. That's a good rule.
Okay.
That's a good rule.
So that's the one exception.
I think you should tweet that out and or we'll do this video and see what the public says.
Okay.
So I like it because everybody's doing this. Everyone's on group text.
So we need a 2/3 vote to pass that rule. So all in favor would raise your hand.
I'm in.
I'm in. Okay. I love that because you send something out and you're like, you're sharing it with your friends and you want to hear what they have to say about it. So I'm with that.
By the way, thanks for saying I'm the best. I'm going to go ahead and counter and say you're the worst. So you're the worst.
I'm right up there. I'm really bad too. I'm always too busy with my eight kids. And you know, now I'm working from home again and doing live programming and you know,
Here's an example. So here's a good one. I sent my favorite Corona-related video of the week. I sent it to you guys, and Scott replied, "That's good. Thank you. That's all I need. That's all I need." But then I sent last night, and this is
I
the
replied
other thing.
Too.
No, you did. But last night I sent the Vin Diesel video, and no one responded. And then Travis just text another video about U.S. weightlifting working out from home.
He bulldozed.
And no
you.
One responded to my Vin Diesel comment.
He needs validation.
I didn't watch it. I'm awful.
Jeez.
So the Vin Diesel, have you seen that video?
No.
That was the whole point. See, if you don't respond, then you're not watching it, then we can't discuss it on the podcast. But apparently this is years old, and Vin Diesel basically did like an online video of him to a Beyonce song. I guess the song is Drunk at Home or that's maybe what it was. The video was titled and it's him singing to a Beyonce song in a very provocative way. And my beef with you guys is how is this the first time I'm seeing this? Especially Scott, who's not here to defend himself, but that's the type of shit that Scott should know about and should share in our 26 hours together over the weekend during football season when Scott, we're together for, right?
Scott usually has those nuggets.
So the other rule, when there is something viral like that, okay, we share it and we make sure that we share it with me. That's the rule so that I'm aware.
Okay.
So that's the second rule.
Maybe we should rate it instead of just commenting. We should say, hey, that's a 7.
I'm good with that.
I like
up with a rating system.
Yeah. I mean, 1 through 10 seems pretty standard.
Just your standard 1 through 10 rating system.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys need to watch the Vin Diesel video.
I'm playing it right now as we're talking about this. Like, I don't have the audio up, but is
well, now's not the time. Yeah, Travis, now's not the
time. You need the audio. But just let it
go. Now's not the time.
Now's not the time. Last rule. Vocabulary and words. So I'm of an age, and I feel like, and I think, I don't know how it all works, but I think we're all in the same generation. Or Travis, are you a millennial?
Yeah, according to, it's like 1980, so I fall into that.
Okay, and so, and I'm right, I'm before 8, millennial, and what's that, Generation X?
Yeah, that's what I am.
Gen X, yeah.
So Joe and I are Generation X. And I feel like Generation X is the best generation because we and millennials, older millennials, but we know both worlds. We know growing up without the internet and without cell phones, and we remember rotary phones, and we remember pay phones,
cassettes,
and we remember no, you know, the video game that was the handheld video game with the dots, the lights, and things like that. We remember that, but we're also versed in today's culture and the internet and social media and everything else. So I feel like. And I'm a good illustration of the best of the best, right? So that's that.
Certainly.
Thanks. So, but at what point can we, like somebody, like let's take the word dope, for example. Can I reasonably use the word dope anymore?
I think you can.
I can?
Yeah, because it was in your vocabulary when you were young. You cannot say lit though.
Where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Okay. So to me, dope has been around many years. We were saying dope back in the 80s. It's kind of hung around and it's made a comeback. So now it's like kids are saying dope, right? So I can still say dope. I agree. I can't say lit. I don't feel comfortable saying lit.
I would never want to say that.
I would never want to see you say that.
No. I don't say lit. I don't say fire. Come up with words that we can't, that us, the older end of generation of millennials and Generation X, words we cannot use.
Oh, I got one. KK on your texts.
Yeah,
KK,
no,
you can't do the KK. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
And it's
well, there's a lot of, in texting, there's a lot of like shortened stuff too. Like R right now, RN.
I think you could do RN.
Tonight.
I don't know what RN is.
Right now. Like HBU. How about you? You know, those type of things.
And why isn't HAU? How about you? Why are, if we're abbreviating, can't we at least use proper grammar?
I don't know. But so lit, fire, KK, is there anything else that jumps out?
I'm not cool enough or in touch with any of these millennials
I've got a 9-year-old. What? Joey's what? 8?
8.
So they're getting into those age. Yeah. That they're starting to say these words. I'm just Googling words kids use today.
I have a friend who's 23 and it's like speaking a different language.
So shade. How about shade?
Don't like shade either.
Throwing shade on someone, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're past that. Fire is definitely one.
Fam. Now, a lot of people using fam, a person's group of friends, but can also sometimes be used to reference just one member of the tight inner circle. What's up, fam? If I ever say that, shoot me between the eyes.
I'm with you. Definitely no. Cannot say turnt.
No.
Excessive no. state of excitement, hype. No.
You can say crunk. I think crunk's in.
Crunk's been around.
Yeah.
Crunk's been around.
You're gonna look like a fool, but you can say crunk.
Wait a minute. I haven't heard this one. Goals. This one is actually super easy. It literally means the same as goals normally would, something to strive for, but it's used as an adjective rather than a noun. You can think of it as meaning the same as desirable in most cases.
Yeah, like hashtag goals. Right? People say that all the time. Like
that girl is
hashtag
that girl
in general,
is goals.
We shouldn't say hashtag.
No, like you know, Dean's got a sweet Range Rover. Goals. Like, I want to get a sweet Range Rover, too, I think is the way.
Oh, so that's how you would say it?
Okay.
AF, I don't feel comfortable using AF, but as F-U-C-K has been around forever, okay? And we've been using that forever. But I don't type AF, but I will say the words out loud because that's been around. Clap back.
Never heard.
A snappy comeback.
God, there's more. I know there's more.
Like, he kept teasing me, but he wasn't expecting me to clap back. Not allowed. Thirsty.
Definitely cannot say thirsty. Can't say thirsty.
Can't say thirsty. No, can't say thirsty. Savage. This one.
That one. Yeah.
This one's been around.
That's been around. I used that long before any of the way they're using it in rap songs. And
Savage has been around.
Woke. What about woke?
Woke. Yeah, definitely can't say woke.
I'm not saying woke.
Salty?
No, this yeah, is woke, just, old, I just guys, woke.
Old guys talking about words they can't use that the kids use.
Salt. They have salty. Salty's salty. Been around for a while.
Are you on Best Life? Are you on Best Life? Is that what you're on?
I think we're on the same one.
What about, basic. Oh,
basic?
There's one we absolutely cannot say. Bay.
What's that?
You cannot say bay.
Bay.
Bay? No.
You know that's an acronym.
Yes. But
what about boo?
Boo's been around for a long time, yeah. But I will not say boo. I know I am getting tired of social distancing. I am.
Nice.
You know how I know that? Because I called my Alexa babe the other day. I literally said, thanks, babe. And it just rolled off my tongue. And I definitely got to get out. All right. Good rules discussion. Tiger King, new episode. You guys see it?
No.
I'm done with Tiger King. Okay. I watched it and it's basically Joel McHale, who I like, Joel McHale, interviewing certain people from Tiger King. And now I've done it. I've watched it all and I don't want to talk about Tiger King unless we're talking about Joe's tattoo or Carol Baskin admits to killing her husband. That's it.
Okay.
So those are the only two times I'll talk about Tiger King going forward.
What about if Joe Exotic gets out of jail?
I guess we're going to have to. It's going to be newsworthy if he gets out of jail. But the more and more it sounds like, it doesn't sound like he's going to be getting out of jail anytime soon. But all right, done with Tiger King.
I've got one more and we should have, I don't know if this is a rule, but let's pick a jersey. A famous athlete for our 34th episode. Now there's a lot of pressure that this is 34, by the way.
Okay, list.
I've got
34.
So I think
the famous 34.
I think it comes down to two, but I'm going to throw out some big ones: Franco Harris, Earl Campbell, Thurman Thomas, Paul Pierce, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Franco Harris was 34. I thought Franco Harris was 32.
Was he 32? I thought he was 34.
I thought he was 32 as well. What about Charles Barkley?
Charles Barkley was my next one.
For me.
But I think the two big ones are Walter Payton and Shaq.
Mm. Yeah. You know what? I'm going Walter.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
You're right. Franco Harris was 32. Dang it.
I got to go Walter.
I go Shaq.
That.
So I think we need to. Travis's.
No, two out of three.
I go Walter. I go Walter as well. Walter, then Charles.
Yeah. So this episode is the Walter Payton episode.
If it is 32 or 34.
It's 34. So we'll start thinking about, everybody come up with your 35s next week and we'll name it. Best COVID-19 internet content. Most recent thing you've seen. Go.
It's not recent, but the one that I love the most is when the guy goes, you're in quarantine. You can either A, stay inside your home with your wife for the next 6 weeks, or B, I'll take B. I'll take B.
Yeah. That's still been a good one.
That's probably my favorite.
I saw one that's just kind of uplifting with some girls in Italy playing tennis across the roofs of their like apartments or whatever. Did you guys see that one?
Oh, that's cool. I didn't see that one.
Volleying the ball back and forth over their rooftop. That was pretty cool. I also saw one that was funny with a grocery store manager in Australia. Did you hear about this one? A guy came like back to try to return like 4,800 rolls of toilet paper and 40 gallons of hand sanitizer. And the guy just gave him the finger and told him to leave.
Wow.
Well, that's the people that hoard that stuff. Shame on you. Because that's how we end up with this artificial demand. And, you know, take what you need. And then we won't have these issues. So, you know, everybody gets into that mentality. The one for me, I sent it to you guys, is the guy playing Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. And it's the beginning where Michael Jackson's making all those noise and he's drinking hot coffee. And every time he touches the cup, he's like, hey, and he puts it, and it's perfect to the music. So you got to watch it. Just check out the guy.
I watched that one. It was good.
Google coffee. So Shazam is working hard again. I sent you guys the screenshot. I'm not bullshitting you. Shazam sent me another notification, and I'll pull it up because I screenshotted it. We found it. We didn't find your Shazam on the 22nd of March, so we tried again. I got that on Sunday, April 19th. Okay. They have been looking, the Shazam elves have been looking for that song for 3 weeks, almost a month, and they finally found it.
Well,
thank you.
I had that in mind, Dean, when you sent that, and I Shazammed a song that was on the Last Dance episode that I was watching, didn't pop up. It didn't pop. Oh no, I'm not trying to bring it up, but the song, it was like a 90s, like early 90s rap song, and I wanted to know what it was, and it didn't come up. So I'm gonna be waiting until they get back to me.
Actually, you know what's gonna happen is I'm gonna get it. We couldn't find Travis's Shazam, but we finally found it, Dean.
I'll tell you why you're not gonna get it, Travis. You don't pay like Dean does. When Shazam finds a song, it auto buys it, so they get paid 20 cents every time. So they're on the hunt. Like, we got to find these for Dean. Yeah, you just probably use the free version.
That's right.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I do. They're not going to get back to me.
So don't try to. I believe that Shazam has elves and they're working for me. That's it. That's what I believe. Leave it alone.
Nice.
Let's do Joe. Any social distancing tips from the guy that.
I've got three tips for parents and three tips for non-parents. I'm going to make it quick because we're running low on time here. Parents, lists, they're huge. When you're at home trying to teach your kids things, make lists. I don't know what it is about kids. They love a list. It all gets done. Number two, keep the kids in a routine. Keep them up every day. Keep them doing homework at the same times. This is going to be kind of serious. You know how serious I am about being a parent, and check in on your kids' emotional health. Ask them how they're feeling about this and all that stuff. So that's the serious stuff. The fun stuff. If you're single, get an exercise bike. You have time. All the time that we say, oh, I should do this. I should learn to play the guitar. I should learn to speak Spanish. 100%. Now is your time. Get the weights, get the Peloton, get the fight camp, learn how to throw a punch, get on Gracie University and learn jiu-jitsu, whatever it is. Do it. Now's your time. We probably will never get this opportunity for the rest of our lives. Buy a boat. Buy a boat. You can float.
Buy a boat.
You can float down a river.
A boat.
You will be social distancing.
Practical advice from Joe.
You could get a boat for $2,000. You could get a boat for $1,500, and you're just
buy
now you're
boat.
Floating down a lake or a river, and you're away from other people, and you're in the sun, and it's beautiful. Get yourself a boat or a jet ski.
Yeah, how are you going to follow that?
I'll follow that with this. Get a motorcycle. You could just ride around town. You're away from people. Learn how to ride that motorcycle. You've been talking about it all these years. Just do it, man. It's great. The wind's blowing in your face. Get yourself a motorcycle. Don't put anyone on the back.
I agree that if everyone, look, I get it. Not talking about essential workers and people that are out keeping the world running so that we can all sit at home. But for the people that's sitting at home, if you don't come out of this with some new, you know, some new whatever interest, some new skill, something, then shame on you. And we're all trying to do that. Now I'm doing more cooking. I'm going to do a cooking videos. I got a jump rope. I'm jump roping. I got resistance bands. I'm doing all these different things, and we're never going to have this time again, hopefully. And so use it.
That's it.
I've been playing guitar more, and I tuned up the old beach cruiser and got it out on the road again. So, nice. And I started working out a little bit more. So,
nice work, guys. I haven't been doing anything, but I do have a butt.
You mentioned the parenting stuff. It's like I told my wife about, like, we don't want my daughter watching the iPad, but I'm like, she watches us on our computers all day while we're working. I'm like, of course she wants to sit on the iPad. Yeah, it's so hard.
It's tough now. It really is. All right. Brain of Blandino. Before we get into new Brain of Blandino, last week we talked about, do cop cars have child locks, or are they structured that way to where they don't open? There's no option. And I got a DM from a listener who's also a police officer, and he confirmed, at least in his experience, that they are child locks. And he even said that one time he forgot to put the child locks on, and the guy in the back seat just got out on his own. He said he wasn't trying to escape. He was just surprised that it opened. And and so police cars are just your standard child locks. So they have to remember to keep the child locks on. And he also said that the back seats, especially when there's a cage, a divider, they're so cramped that you wouldn't want, like, normal, you wouldn't drive around normal people in the back seat. So, but there you go. The question was answered, Joe. Perfect. So let's go new Brain of Blandino.
All right, let's do it. Determined guy walking whatever shit he is going to do is going to get done.
Have you ever seen somebody walking down the street? Like I saw it a couple times where the guy was walking down the street with such a purpose. Like normally when if you just go out for a walk, you're just kind of like just regular. But every once in a while, you'll see somebody that is walking, and whatever they're walking to do, that shit is going to get done. Like there's a walk, like it's a pace. It's an arm swing. You know what I'm talking about? Like that person is going to do something. And they're going to get whatever it is, they're going to get it done. And there's a difference between that and just going for a walk. Have you seen that?
Oh, absolutely.
There's a guy I work with that, and that's how he walks every time. And he is always getting stuff done. Like, and he, you can see it in his walk.
There was a guy
I walked that way.
There was a guy I worked with at the NFL. Every time you saw him coming towards you, whatever his issue was the most important issue in the world. And it was like, oh, here comes Mitch. Here he comes. Let's see what the Super Bowl is, you know, the stadium is on fire. You know, something, it's whatever it was the most important thing at that time.
It's
always
walking with a purpose. That's the,
walking with purpose. That's walking it, with purpose. Everything we do. All right. What do we got, Joe? Is that it? This has been Good Calls with Dean Blandino. Please follow me on Twitter at Dean Blandino and Instagram at Dean.Blandino. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Rules Podcast. And be sure to rate our podcast on the iHeartRadio app and on Apple Podcasts.
Good Calls with Dean Blandino is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.